Scientists have unravelled the genetic makeup of the flooded gum, or rose gum, and this has got real potential to change our landscape and also help develop or improve eucalyptus industries. One of the researchers is Carsten Kuhlheim from the Australian National University. Carsten, thanks for joining Bush Telegraph. Nice to have you along.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Why is decoding the eucalyptus tree genome such a valuable thing? What's good about it? Why is it important?
It's really providing us with a lot of tools, and it's just the beginning of a lot of research to come. It'll give us, provide us with the opportunity to select the right trees for the right environment. You can imagine that not every environment needs the same kind of tree. The work that I'm doing is involved with plant secondary metabolites, or essential oils in the leaves. And these oils are defense against herbivores and fungi in the tree. So a plantation tree that where you want good growth wants a plant that is well defended, whereas a plant planted for koalas or possums should have less of these compounds. And with this genetic code, we can select for the right plants early on.
So you'll be able to make sure those in the essential oils industry plant trees that have more oil. Is it as simple as that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Where are the majority of the trees grown for the oil industry?
Essential oil industries or eucalyptus oil industry in Australia is a lot in the semi-arid areas, so western New South Wales and western Australia. So basically areas that aren't good enough for wheat or cattle or sheep. So that's one of the big advantages, of course, of eucalypts, that they can grow because they're so well adapted to the land here in quite dry areas.
Okay. They're adapted well to the Australian landscape, but they're grown in huge numbers overseas, aren't they?
Much more so than in Australia, but not that much actually for essential oils. It's mostly for pulp and paper that they are grown around the tropics, subtropics, and even temperate regions around the world.
Okay. Why are they grown in such high numbers overseas?
They grow very fast, and they are very versatile, and they have high levels of resistance to their local herbivores. So those Brazilian or South African animals have not evolved to tolerate the essential oils in eucalypts. Therefore, they are basically untouched and have really amazing growth rates that can't be achieved to such levels here in Australia.
So the Brazilians have a comparative advantage in growing eucalypt, do they?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, interesting. Are there real advantages for the pulp industry then out of this research as well?
Oh, yeah. They're looking at how the wood is formed, so it will provide them with advantages in selecting trees that have the right wood properties and also grow faster, grow straighter, all these kind of things.
Okay. How fast do they grow generally?
I've been to a plantation in Brazil in the tropical areas, and I saw five-year-old trees that were about 18 meters tall.
18? And in 5 years?
18, wow. Yes, and they harvest them after 6.5-7 years. That's how long a cycle takes for them.
Gee, so that's the appeal. That's the commercial appeal, no doubt.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it makes a lot of sense if you are able to grow them that quickly and harvest in such a short cycle. The economy is there for it.
Yeah, yeah. Are they loved trees in other parts of the world? We think of them certain fondness with how we think of them here in Australia, but I wonder if that's the same attitude overseas.
I mean, they are used as ornamental in many countries. I've seen them in California as ornamental trees in the along the streets. And, yeah, I don't think people really think about it that much. And I guess the big plantations, they're more looked at as an eyesore. I don't know. It doesn't look like a native forest, you know, like there are straight lines, straight trees, no undergrowth. It's a bit of a different thing.
Yeah, yeah. So this research, could it eventually lead to a point where we're really changing the environment, then greening our deserts, if you like?
Greening our deserts? Well, I think the deserts are coming closer to us at the moment with climate change. And these trees, there are many eucalypts that are over 400 years old. So they're long-lived organisms. So anything we plant now that we want to stay, like, for example, in nature reserves, we should really plan ahead and think, what will the local environment look like in 50 years or in 100 years? And will this tree then still survive there?
Does this information allow you to plan like that?
A lot of research is still needed to do that, but having the eucalyptus genetic code is the basic requirement to do such research. That's why I think it's so important.
Mm. So you've got the genetic code of, it's the flooded gum. Is it the flooded gum or rose gum?
Flooded gum, Eucalyptus grandis, yeah.
Eucalyptus grandis. Now, there's several hundred species, isn't there, of eucalypt?
Yeah, depending on how you define it, but I think 700 is a fairly safe number.
Mm. Okay, so how easy is it now to crack the code of the rest of them?
It's very easy. We have actually done that with Tasmanian blue gum, Eucalyptus globulus, and it doesn't cost much money and it doesn't take much time. And you can use the genetic code from the flooded gum as a basis. And with that, it's really easy. It's like the first sequencing is the very hard one. After that, basically all eucalyptus species could be easily sequenced and cheaply done so.
So could we, through that sequencing, could we discover uses, I guess, or commercial uses for some of the species that haven't been developed as yet?
I guess that is a good point there, but my personal interest is more in looking at the variability within a species. So, for example, looking at 400 or 500 trees of the same species where some have high levels of essential oils and others have low levels of essential oils, once we sequence all these individuals, we can attribute which genetic differences contribute to the essential oil production and thereby get the right tool to select for higher oil yield for the essential oil industry.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. Carsten, thanks for coming in today. Nice chatting with you.
Thank you very much.
Carsten Kuhlheim, who's from the Australian National University, involved in the research unravelling the genetic makeup of Eucalyptus grandis.